Saint Stanislaus, Bishop and Martyr, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, yesterday you did an extraordinary amount of praying, didn't you? For it being a Monday and everything, what with our Rogation procession, going outside in the gentle rain to chant the Litany of the Saints, twice each petition, and then afterwards the Holy Mass, and then in the afternoon again, your May devotions. We continue that same pattern of very heavy prayer today and tomorrow, which makes for a very beautiful preparation, doesn't it, for our Lord's ascension into heaven. Remember, one of the ideas is this. Just as if you're going to go to a distant place, someone will say, well, can you take this little present for me and give it to somebody over there? Or take my letter, and when you get there, give it to that person. And so too, our Lord, who's going to his Father in heaven, receives all of our petitions, our little prayers that we write down on holy pieces of paper, and we put them in our Lord's pockets, and we say, bring them home to God the Father, will you, dear Lord? And pray for this and this and this and this when you return to heavenly glory on Thursday. So we don't want to miss a single opportunity for grace during these days. Now, because we want to be faithful praying, and we are faithful praying, what could we expect? Why, miracles could be given to us. Saint James tells us in today's epistle that this is maybe the best reward of all. If any one of you err from the truth and one convert him, he must know that he who causeth a sinner to be converted from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. So not only will we get our prayers heard, but our Lord promises us, if we convert others because of our prayers and good example and words, why, we could save our own soul and have a reward waiting for us in heaven. And all of our sins, they get covered over. That's a good motivation, isn't it, for us to pray and pray and pray some more, especially these holy days of Rogation Tide. The saint who gives us the example of prayer that works and that works miracles is our new saint, Saint Stanislaus. One day he'll be in the church on one of the pillars, and in the meantime, there he is for his shrine of the day, all nicely restored. Saint Stanislaus is one of the patron saints of Poland. He's sort of the Polish equivalent of Saint Thomas a Becket, if that tells you anything. He lived a little bit earlier, though. He was born almost 1,000 years ago in the year 1030 in Poland, and he studied for the priesthood in Poland and also in France. And then he came back, and he was such an enthusiastic preacher and such a holy confessor, and he prayed so much that the bishop wanted to let him become the bishop right away, but Saint Stanislaus was too humble. He waited his turn, and when the old bishop died, why, then he became the bishop, and pretty soon he had his work cut out for him. He was able to convert many, many sinners who came to him for confession, or he would go to them and have a little word with them about how they needed to change their life. Sometimes it was the nobility, sometimes it was priests, or the regular people. He converted them all, and that he did by especially his prayers. Well, the big challenge of his life was this, children. There was a king, and the king's name was Boleslaus II, and even for a king, he was extraordinarily wicked. He was a good king in some respects. He was very brave in war, and he looked out for his nation's interests, but he was extremely immoral, and it was almost as though he enjoyed breaking all 10 commandments publicly so everybody could see it. He gave that's called a scandal or a bad example. And everybody, because he was so cruel and bloodthirsty, was afraid of this king, but not our saint, not Saint Stanislaus. He went right up to him more than once, and he reproached him or corrected him and even threatened him. If he didn't stop his wicked ways and stop breaking God's commandments and committing mortal sins, why, then he would have to be even excommunicated. Well, the king thought he would frame the bishop, that is to say, falsely accuse him of having committed a crime. It was a question about some property that St. Stanislaus had purchased once for the cathedral and for the archdiocese, and for one reason or another, he didn't have the documents, the legal deed of sale. And so the wicked king got the relatives of the man, Peter was his name, who had sold the property to the archbishop, to give false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness, the commandments say, but the king forced these people to do just that, and he was put on trial for having stolen property, which wasn't at all true because he had properly paid for it in the correct way. Well, what was St. Stanislaus going to do? It seems that the man who sold the property to him, he was dead. He was well dead. He couldn't testify and tell the truth. St. Stanislaus prayed. He prayed for 3 days and nights, and he fasted while he prayed. If you fast while you pray, that's why we do it during Lent. It's like prayer times two. Well, after 3 days and nights of prayer, he went to the tomb of this man, Peter, who had sold the property to him, and who was dead for a long time. And he had the tomb opened up, and he said, Peter, come forth. I need you to testify for me in the trial. And the dead man arose. He was in pretty bad shape because he'd been dead for a while. And so St. Stanislaus gave him a cloak to wear so he would look halfway decent. And they walked together to the trial. You can imagine how everybody stopped to stare at that. It was a corpse who had come back to life. And when they got to trial, the king and the nobles had to listen to this man. Everybody wanted to see what he had to say. And he testified. Oh, no, he said, Bishop Stanislaus indeed had sold me the property properly. He didn't steal anything from me at all. And then St. Stanislaus asked the dead man who had testified. He said, well, would you like to continue to be alive, or would you rather go back to heaven, to eternity? And he said, oh, thank you, Your Excellency, but I would much rather be in heaven than on earth. And so they walked back to his tomb, and he laid down, and he was dead again. He had just done that one particular good deed because of the miracle that our saint worked by his holy prayers. Well, now the king was good for a while. He was a bit like we are, children. When we get into trouble, or we are corrected maybe, or we're inspired for a while, we're good, but then slowly, bit by bit, we end up being bad again, don't we? And then someone has to lower the boom on us again. That's the story of our lives. Well, that's how King Boleslaus was, and so the bishop thought, I'm going to go see him one last time. And again, before he went to see him, what did he do? He prayed. He prayed for days, and he fasted for this wicked king's conversion. But this time, the king wasn't having any of it. And so St. Stanislaus had to excommunicate him, which means cut him off from membership in the Catholic Church. And it's a special kind of excommunication, the most serious. If he came into the church, even the Mass itself would have to stop. Or the divine office, or whatever it was, he wasn't allowed even to go to Mass or hear the office. Well, the canons of the cathedral had their orders, and when the king tried to defy the bishop by going to Mass, they stopped the Mass. St. Stanislaus, in the meantime, had gone out of town. The cities weren't very big back then. It was a fairly short walk. Out of town to a little chapel to St. Michael the Archangel, whose feast day is tomorrow, and he was going to be saying Mass there, away from all the carrying on with the king in the cathedral. Well, the king came with his soldiers, and he sent his soldiers into church. St. Stanislaus was saying Mass at the altar, and he said, kill that bishop, to the soldiers. And they tried to do it three times, but each time they saw a bright, sort of a blinding light, and they didn't dare. They couldn't. So the king was so angry, he said, give me your sword. I'll do it myself. So he went in with the sword, and he slew St. Stanislaus the same way that St. Thomas of Becket had been slain. He chopped at his head, and all of his brains came out on the pavement. Well, then the soldiers took the body out under the orders of the king, and his body was chopped up into many, many pieces and thrown around on the ground. Then, two wonderful miracles happened. The first of these was that three noble-looking eagles, the eagle is the symbol of Poland, came, and they protected all of the parts of the saint's body from any wild animals or birds. Then, after 3 days, the priests got their courage up, the canons did, from the cathedral, and they collected Saint Stanislaus's pieces, and they put them back together again. And as soon as they did, his body was whole and entire again, and they buried him outside the chapel of Saint Michael the Archangel. About 10 years later, after the wicked king had fled, then he was taken to the cathedral, and there he was buried in a beautiful tomb, canonized a saint, and honored ever since. What happened to wicked old Boleslaw? Well, his sins caught up with him, and he had to abdicate and flee and run over to Hungary, and there he passed the last days of his life in penance. He finally was converted. You see what a wonderful reward that our Lord gave to Saint Stanislaus for all of his prayers? There's lots of people we can think of, children, who need to be converted. So if you get a little tired of all of our praying these days, which would only be understandable, let's think of all the good that we could do by our prayers and the promise our Lord makes us. If we pray, we will save our own soul most of all. And our sins, they'll be forgiven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.